Hey guys, welcome to Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and this is my co-host,
Graham K.
Yes. It's good to hear from you, buddy. It's been a little, I miss you to see your face around here on these little LA parts.
Thank goodness for the internet and telephones. Yeah, we're doing it, man.
We're
still
doing it.
We're Autastic will not die.
The INS or green card?
Yeah, we'll not let the green card system kill Autastic.
It's close.
It's close. They're doing a great job. They're very close.
This is your comedian's guide to autism. It's two comedians who have autistic family members in their life who we love very much, and we talk
Speak
about
for
it.
Yourself.
No, we love them. I didn't say they love us.
Oh, yeah.
But, we talk about it. Not science, usually. Sometimes we call in some experts, and...
We have scientists on. We're not scientists.
Exactly. We do have scientists.
But anyway, yeah, you got an autistic son.
That's
who's,
right.
He's 18, and I got an autistic brother who's, 32?
Yep.
He's got a full head of hair. Holy cow.
Don't be jelly.
Thickest hair in the biz. No stress.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Sleeps well.
Yeah.
That 12 hours of sleep a night, that'll do it for you.
So we usually start off with a week in review. You were telling me something off air just before we press record here, and I was like, save this for the air. I don't want to hear any more. Just tell me what happened.
This is a humiliating story.
Yeah.
Classic Kirk, is that what you're going to
say? Yeah, great.
This is a humiliating story I'll open with, and I figured out about myself that I work very hard, but I do not work smart. I'm an idiot, but,
you're not an idiot.
I make a lot of mistakes, man. So, Saturday I had a gig in Utah and, I go to the airport Friday because I wanted to get there a little early because the gig was like at noon for Saturday. I couldn't make it in time because it's 2 hours north of Utah by the time the flights land. So I was like, Friday.
Sure.
I get there to the airport Friday and, the airline says, no, your ticket's booked for next week. And I was like, oh, crap. Okay. I don't know. That's a big mistake. Let's call in, change the ticket. I call in, pay some money. Obviously, nothing's free in life. Change the ticket. Get to Utah. Get to the car rental reservation. The lady goes, your car rental's reserved for next week. Ah, crap. Okay. Well, can we change it to this week? Sure. Here you go. Pay some more money. Okie dokie. I drive to the hotel where I'm staying the night before and try to check in. And they go, your hotel is reserved for next week. Now, the hotel had been reserved by the organizer of the venue. And I finally pieced it together. I'm like, oh, crap. The gig. When is the gig? Is the gig next week? Check my calendar. Sure enough, the gig's next week.
You didn't even check your calendar throughout any of this?
I put it in my calendar twice.
Two different days.
Yeah, I put it in this week and last week. I have no idea why. I have no idea. I thought maybe it'd be fun to fly to Utah for no reason.
Oh, my God. So you're going to just do this gig for free, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious is one word to describe it.
Oh, my God. And you're rich, right? So it doesn't matter.
Just money. Just money, Graham.
Oh, my God.
Brutal.
Great job. I mean, let me tell you something. I am completely surprised this has never happened to me, and it hasn't, just by the grace of God. I'm somehow stumbling into the correct times and places I go. I'm not a creature. I need habit. I need things to, and my schedule is not, and I have no idea. One time I remember I was flying out of New York, and I would always get a voicemail from my mom being like, Graham, just a reminder, you're flying out of JFK, not LaGuardia.
I love it.
Because, I would always fly home back. And every time I'd fly home, my mom, I'd send my parents my itinerary. And then I wouldn't ask them to, just so they could pick me up from the airport. But my mother would always go the extra step and just be like, you're flying out of, because she knows there's three different airports in New York, and she knows me. And I always would listen to, like, I know this is that very annoying voicemail. I'd listen to it and be like, roll my eyes and be like, God, she thinks I'm an idiot. And that probably happened like 10 times. And then on the 10th time, I was on the air train, like the sky train in JFK, and like an hour and a half before my flight, and I'm listening to it, and she goes, now, you know, just a reminder, you're flying out of LaGuardia today. Like, just sitting on the sky train, like, there's no way I'm going to make it to... I think I may have made it, or I rescheduled that day, and it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was like a real...
I'm pretty organized-ish, but I've never done that. And the worst part is I could have caught it at the very beginning. The thing was, it was like 8 in the morning. I'm exhausted. I had a show the night before, so I didn't have much sleep. And so I'm at the airport just trying to fix this stupid thing. Oh, and I was a little late, too, of course, because my stupid parking ticket situation... Yeah, it doesn't matter. And so I could have just caught it right then, just checked the message from the booker and be like, when is this gig? And just gone home. Be like, oh, that's funny. I went to Burbank Airport and had to go home. But no, I decided to fly all the way to Salt Lake. And then at the hotel, I didn't check in because I didn't have a reservation. I'm like, screw that. So then I get on my phone, when's the next flight I can get out of here? And then drove 90 miles an hour back to the airport. Oh my gosh. What an idiot.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I would say don't tell anybody this story, but, well, it's too late.
We can edit this out.
Nah.
We probably won't, though.
I mean, it's quite amazing that my my brother, who has autism, he would never make any of those mistakes.
It's funny.
There's not a chance that he would go to the wrong airport or go to fly to a place the wrong day. Not a chance. Our birthdays are in June. He's already planning.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's my weekend review. We've got kind of a long interview. What do you think? Should we hop to it? I guess we should do
it. Let's just hop to it.
Okay.
You want to set it up? You set it up.
Guys,
you drove away. To 5 hours to do these interviews. You went to Silicon Valley to go to that. You were at the Apple headquarters?
I went to the Apple headquarters, and
it's just a giant Apple, right? With a door at the bottom, and you walk in, and it's like the Death Star on the inside.
The Apple core opens up at the top.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's where you go in. That's how it works. Yeah.
That's crazy. So Kirk drove all the way up there to do these interviews. He booked these interviews with the accessibility people at Apple. I had no I knew a bit about the accessibility, but I didn't know they had a full department of accessibility at Apple.
What it is the 18th, May 18th is Global Accessibility Awareness Day. And I was
accessibility for people with special needs specifically.
Yes. Yeah, that's code. But yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, I was blown away that they have there's thought put into this. You know, we focus on autism.
And not just any thought, the brightest minds putting thought into it.
Good thought by smart people. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, the opposite of us.
Yes.
Actual
scientists.
Yeah, we're getting hurt playing pickup basketball.
We're taking the wrong flight to Salt Lake City on a Friday like an idiot. We're taking the wrong flight to Salt
Lake City. And they're developing an app to make our loved ones have easier, more productive lives.
I'm so humiliated I did that. I got to be honest. I was so embarrassed. I laughed and laughed, but I was like, I'm going to turn into a bit eventually. It's just not funny yet. It's just painful.
You're trying, buddy.
But I'm definitely trying. I'm working hard, just not smart. That's the big problem. But yeah, I met with the accessibility people. Yeah, so I sat down. The first interview I did was with Sarah Herlinger, and it was an interesting interview. I mean, I was just blown away by the fact that they've put so much effort into this.
It's incredible.
And Sarah's title is Senior Manager. I think I butchered this in the interview too. Senior Manager of Global Accessibility Policy and Initiatives. In my defense, that's a mouthful. That's a very robust title.
Yeah, it's a very attainable mouthful.
You're supposed to be on my side.
I love how you make the effort. You set up these interviews. you drive up there, you put yourself up, you do all the hard work, and then it's like, what's her name? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Names. People like to be called by their proper name. That's right.
It's tough. And it's, you know what? She doesn't know. She probably hasn't heard the podcast before. Like, it's not your fault. It really is, because you grew up in a Spanish country.
You don't remember
you
the name of the country
either. Names. You really can't read names.
I have a hard time with names.
I mean, we're on like 80 episodes. You've never said a white person's name right once.
Latino names straight Latino out of the box first time.
Oh, man. Yeah. Home run. Because
the phonetic. Yeah. It's like each letter has one sound. Piece of cake.
Yeah. Smith to her. It's Smith. It's Smith, Kirk. It's your last name.
Smith.
Oh,
the H is silent. Okay.
Oh.
Well, should we run this interview now that we've made fun of me for 10 minutes?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. Hey, guys. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and I hope you guys are having a great week. This week, Saturday night, I play in this Comedians League, Comics and Actors in LA, and I took an elbow directly to the throat. And so my voice has dropped an octave. So I sound like a man finally. Thank God. It sounds like my testicles have finally dropped, and it's very exciting for me. However, my voice does sound weird. It's still Kirk, and I will be back next week with my regular voice. I'm very excited. This week, she works at Apple. She is the, boy, this is a mouthful. She is the Senior Manager of Global Accessibility, and I can't read the rest of my handwriting, so she's just the Senior Manager of Global Accessibility, Sarah Herlinger. Mm-hmm. Tell me the last part of your title, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, I love the last part of the title.
I don't know if I even need to be here. I think you could take over this podcast at this point. I'm already 2 for 2 on mistakes. This is why we love this podcast. This is not science. This is Two Idiots Guide to Autism. My other idiot's not here. It's just me today. Sarah.
So the title is Senior Manager of Global Accessibility Policy and Initiatives.
Policy. I couldn't read the word policy. It looks like poultry. And I'm like, that would make zero sense. How could it be poultry?
That is your handwriting.
I should have been a doctor. Mm-hmm. Policy. And we talked about this literally 2 seconds ago.
Sorry.
I'm going to make it in show business, people. You don't need a brain in LA. So tell us about the Global Initiative for Accessibility and what brought you to this.
Well, so at Apple, we see accessibility as a basic human right. So for us, when we talk about global accessibility, it is building accessibility features into all of our products.
Okay.
Whether that be Macs, iPads, iPhones, Apple TVs, Apple Watch, we want everybody to be able to use our technology. And so by building assistive technology into these consumer products, we help level the playing field and let more people use them.
So I saw a video of a man who's able to run his fingers over the screen of his iPhone and it reads everything off.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, right? That's
exactly.
Part of it? Okay.
That can be, in that case, I think that was probably someone showing off VoiceOver,
yes.
Which is the screen reader built into all four of our products,
right.
Which allow you to use gestures to be able to hear everything on the device, even if you can't see it. We also have another great feature called Switch Control that's built for individuals with extreme physical motor limitations. So it allows someone who might never be able to touch a touch screen to still be able to do everything from take selfies, surf the web, send messages to friends, phone calls, play Angry Birds, whatever it might be.
Okay, great. So what's your background? What was your interest in this before you came to Apple to do this?
Before I came to Apple, I didn't have a specific background in the range of accessibility or special ed, but I just had a passion for doing great work and allowing everybody to shine. I think if you give people the opportunity to show off what they can do in the world, they're going to rock your world. They're going to, you know, they'll blow your mind. And so if technology can act as a scaffold to help people be their best person or show the world what they can do, I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm here at the campus here on One Infinite Loop, I believe the address is, and we had lunch. We met an engineer who was a blind engineer, and she helps work on the programming team, I believe is what she's saying. And so you guys have talk to me a little about that. Do you guys, as far as diversity in hiring people that either are on the spectrum or have accessibility issues themselves, is that something that you guys try to be intentional about? Or how does that work? Walk me through that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest things about accessibility, design, or really design of anything, is inclusion. You know, never working in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So knowing that the people who are helping us build our products are the people who are daily users of that technology. So for that engineer that you saw,
I don't remember her name, which is terrible. I'm not very bright. I got to be honest. I'm not not very bright, Sarah. Somebody told me the name, and I do not remember it.
Well, I'm not sure which engineer it was.
You have a few.
There are a number.
Impaired engineers that work on the development of that's amazing.
Absolutely. So
that's really great.
Yeah. So we have individuals who are wheelchair users. We have individuals who are blind or low vis, who are deaf and hard of hearing, who are on the spectrum. So lots of people who are out there helping us.
Talk to me about the spectrum stuff, because this is obviously is Comedian's Guide to Autism. We talk about basically it's two comedians who have loved ones with autism in life. And we talk about as it relates to us. So do you guys recruit, or do you have, how does it work? Like talk to me about specifically about the autism stuff, please.
Well, we don't have a specific autism at work program with a set of recruiting that we're doing in that arena. But we do know that we are recruiting a lot of people who are on the spectrum. There are a lot of autistic individuals within the company who...
There's a big kind of between programmers, it seems like, and spectrum is a little bit of a... What's that called? There's an overlap, right?
Yeah, I think in Silicon Valley, there's definitely a lot of people that gravitate to this area and gravitate to technology that fall on the spectrum.
Yeah, and to us, that's not an insult. My son's severely autistic, so to say somebody's on the spectrum, I don't mean that disparagingly at all.
Yeah.
I just mean there's the Venn diagram between people interested in technology and also the spectrum. There's a little bit of overlap there. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, and I think the other interesting thing about it is to look at the fact that it's not just necessarily within the quote-unquote accessibility team. It's having people throughout the company
who
are giving their expertise and their incredible abilities to making all of our work better.
Yeah, and to be able to contribute something. So if my son ever worked at Apple, he might be in the facilities department. That's my dream for him someday, to work at McDonald's or be able to do, because he's on the severe end, nonverbal. So for him to be able to do some sort of physical labor, but to be able to contribute to society, to pay his taxes, to be able to be involved. That's my goal for my son. Very near and dear to my heart. My son's, it's going to happen. It's going to happen for him. So, all right, let's go through these questions here. I also wanted to talk to you a little about what lies ahead, like future initiatives for Apple. I know this is the big push this week. Talk to me about the homes that you're talking about for accessibility and where the future lies with Apple.
I think one of the interesting things that's going on right now is that there are a lot of things out there where you could kind of say the future is now. Where, you know, one of the things I try and do is just make sure people know what's already out there that they may not even be aware of. So, for example, things like HomeKit. It's an Apple feature which allows you to do home automation. And we work with a lot of third-party developers and companies who make things like lighting systems, locks, shades for homes, all kinds of things that get kind of tied into the automation of your home, so that if you are someone with a disability, you may be able to come home and say, you know, using Siri, say, "Hey Siri, I'm home,"
right,
and your door's unlocked.
We're just talking about
on.
This. So, what's the deal with that? Is that up and running? That works now. Like you can say,
"Oh yeah, yeah." We have people out there who we've seen who are creating, you know, building homes that are fully HomeKit enabled, so that.
So you say I'm leaving the house and all the lights turn off.
Yep. And your door can lock behind you.
Wow.
And your temperature can drop. And, you know, you could just connect to all kinds of different things to make sure that you're kind of set in your
own. It sounds
home.
Like a great way to play a prank on the girlfriend. I got to be honest. Where you just say, I'm leaving now. The lights turn off. I'm just playing. None of that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, especially if you are incapacitated or you can't get around. You're not mobile. So you can use your words. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
If you're someone who has never been able to close the blinds in your windows by yourself.
For dexterity,
Yeah. And suddenly you can, you know, you've always had to rely on calling someone else into, for example, your bedroom when you want to go to bed at night to close the blinds, turn off the light, do all of that. And all of a sudden you can just say, hey, Siri, good night. And everything happens for you. That's power. That's dignity.
I lived in New York 5 years. You know how, like, very religious Jews cannot turn on their lights on the Sabbath. I wonder how that works, because you have to have a Sabbath goy to come over and turn on and off your lights. You know what I'm talking about?
Where
you come over and you're like, I have this guy, I have this goy come over here and turn off my lights, because you're flipping the light switches. I wonder if the voice counts, where you're just like, what if you named your Siri goy? You're like, hey, could you turn on the lights? I would say that would qualify.
That's a fascinating one.
I'm not a rabbi. I gotta be honest. I'm not a rabbi, so I don't know if that would. But I think I'm onto something. I think it could work.
I'm gonna look into that one. That's fascinating. Yeah, I love that idea.
Let's push us back to autism. Talk to me a little about the apps. You know, we interviewed last year. We did a couple interviews about the apps, and we've got not to tip my hand too much. We've got an interview coming up with a lovely lady who's written an app that I'm excited to talk about. Talk to me a little about the accessibility apps as they relate to autism, especially aimed at education and children.
Yeah. Well, I think to even back up just slightly from that, looking at the devices themselves, you know, when we came out with the iPad, it was embraced by the autistic community.
My kid uses it, yeah.
Yeah. And
we've got the mini.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
One-handed. He's a big kid, so he can have one hand.
Gotcha. Yep. It's a great one. Yeah. So when we came out with this, we saw so many people who were embracing this technology in a way that we almost weren't even expecting at the start.
You're surprised by your own success.
Well,
humility runs deep here. No. No, I get it, though. Yeah, you were surprised at the way they were using it and the way people connected with it. I get it.
Yeah, and we saw that, you know, kids were gravitating to the simple interface of it and the grid-like system and the fact that everything was in the same place when you came back to it later. And so on top of that, we started looking at what were features that might be beneficial for these products, for iOS. So we then went and, you know, built in a feature like Guided Access, which allows you to hold an individual in one application so that they stay focused and on task. What we found was that was very beneficial in many cases for people using augmentative alternative communication apps for people who are nonverbal. If you have someone who you want to know that their voice is always available to them, by putting them into Guided Access, that app is the one that always stays on the screen, you know, for that person's use. But along with those augmentative alternative, blah, 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 that's a mouthful. Along with those augmentative alternative communication apps.
I didn't even get your title or name right. You're doing fine. Go ahead.
No, between the two of us. We also found that the platform was being embraced by so many different amazing developers focused in the autism world. And so whether it is people who are creating apps for communication, for social skills, for teaching life skills, you know, we saw so many different apps that were coming out there by experts in their fields that helped individuals to stay kind of to give stability to lives, allow people who might struggle with new situations to understand what were the social interactions that should happen in that area.
So as the senior manager of global accessibility and policy initiatives, talk to me about your favorite autism apps that that you are excited about, that you feel like our mothers in middle America or family members or whatever who are working with their kids or young adults could use and that you like.
Sure, yeah. So two of my favorite apps come from one developer, which is AssistiveWare, and they make great communication apps. One of them is called Proloquo to Go.
This is the one we covered last year, guys, episode, I believe, 40, something like that, around 40.
Uh-oh, I'm repeating.
No, it's good.
Who knew?
It's good. No, it's good. That means it's a sign that it's a good, the guy's based in Sweden, right? I think we had a little phone call with him.
He's out of Amsterdam. So, out of the Netherlands. And they make really great apps for communication.
David. I'm just piecing it together. Sorry.
My David brain works Niemeyer.
Slow. Niemeyer. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Proloquo to Go is an app that is much more of the image-based apps where you are kind of more the PEX-based style. Proloquo for Text is one that is... in many cases, I think used if you reach a stage where you don't want to just be using symbols and you want to actually be typing as an adult or as just someone for whom typing is a better option for you.
Right.
Proloquo for Text fills that need. And ProLoco for Text has a great watch app. So you can actually put in phrases and then, for example, go to a coffee shop and go up to the barista and tap on a, you know, a the wording on your watch and it will speak out to that person. Latte.
It's like Star Trek.
I'd like to
this
order.
Really is like Star Trek.
I know. See, the future is now.
It is really amazing. Seriously, mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. And then moving on to apps for learning social skills or social modeling. Great apps like Kid and Story, which allow you to do a bookmaker and create books that have the photo of the individual in the story. So
now, Kid and Story, that's the one that we have coming up, right? That's Sue In,
yes.
Sue In's, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Great, great, great.
Absolutely. So just a great app for being able to do that kind of social modeling for an individual to see themselves in that social storying. So another great app is Bloom, which is a music-based app that in many cases through the music and the visuals helps calm someone down.
So like if my son has this where he has like kind of – he has a – I don't want to say a fit, but he's just it's kind of a meltdown. And so it's one of those things that would help with that?
I think so, yeah. It's something that just gives you a kind of a quiet space within to work. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's called Bloom. Okay, mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. And now, I remember last year we talked about this. Apple has a repository of different places. Now, are they doing that again this year for the...
Yeah. So for Autism Acceptance Month, we put together a collection of apps and books and podcasts and all kinds of great things that one can go to find resources. So great. If you Google the iTunes app collection for autism, you should be able to find it out there and find some great resources.
Amazing. Amazing. Sarah, I'm not even going to try your last name again. Thank you. No, I'm just joking. Thank you so much for making time. We really appreciate it. Our listeners really appreciate it. If you have a question that you want to get directly to Sarah, can they tweet you directly or how does that work? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram? Are you on MyFace? Are you doing any of these?
I must admit that I'm not a big tweeter. So
okay.
Probably the easiest way to get a hold of me or other people on our team,
somebody of your team, yeah,
is to write to accessibility@apple.com.
Okay, great. Guys, if you have a question directed to Apple, an app you'd like to see or an idea or something obvious, I feel like some of our best ideas come from people in the field that have experience. And so accessibility@apple.com. At apple.com. Sarah, thank you so much for your time. Guys, that's been the interview. Thank you so much. Have a great week. You can do it.
Thank you, Kirk. It was great to be here. I really appreciated the time.
Well, that was it. What do you think, Graham?
I think that she is selfish and unhelpful generally. I think that she is a fantastic, bright, wonderful person, and I really am impressed, and I'm very excited. Is the main feeling I had through listening to this of what lies ahead for people with autism and mainly the parents out there who have autistic or children with autism that are listening. I can't imagine what would happen if my brother during his learning curve had these items or these things to use. And you know, he's also verbal, so I mean he doesn't need a lot of these things, but it's gonna help a lot. It's just great. And it's great that it's already out. These things are already available.
Yeah. The thing that jumped out at me too is that they kind of get all this stuff to work together, which I'm always impressed with. That the phone works with the watch, mm-hmm. that works with the – and we didn't really cover the watch. But the fact that the watch can – you know, it sends you little reminders, don't fly to Salt Lake today. It's not your flight today. It's next week.
we have another interview coming up next episode where we interview another genius person. We talk about the watch, so
yeah. There,
we will talk about the watch coming up next episode. But it's incredible. There's not much more I could say about it. She's obviously
it's incredible initiative. Bright. It's very important, and just grateful that this is getting a lot of attention, as it should. Mm-hmm. And this is a great initiative for accessibility, not just for autistic people, but you know they've got stuff for blind people, and stuff for different accessibility issues that it addresses. So
the sort of independence and pride that people will obtain. She mentioned blind people have never been able to close their blinds by themselves, you know, and now, there are robbers out there, and now you can close your blinds.
It's real stuff.
Independent. You feel good. You feel confident. It's
amazing stuff.
Fantastic.
Amazing stuff. Well, that's it, guys. I know this episode ran a little long and we didn't do our regular format, but because of this special day, the Global Accessibility Awareness Day, we want to highlight a couple interviews. And reach out to us. Let us know what you think. Give us your feedback. Also, we provided her contact details. If you have questions directly for her, for Sarah Herlinger. And
Great job, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you for all the work you do. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And if you have a second, guys, please share this podcast. We really appreciate it. If this is the first podcast you listen to of ours, you might want to jump back. We have a little bit different format and listen to Comedian's Guide to Autism. You can like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Graham K. Comedy, Kirk Smith Comedy. That's it. Am I missing anything, Graham? That's it.
No, Patreon. Give us money. Yeah.
Patreon.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N .com/autastic. You can donate $1 per episode or more if you feel like you'd like to do that. And then, you could maybe donate more and then donate something less later or stop or whatever. But anyway, it does really help us. I know this sounds pathetic right now, but hey, who cares? I'm shameless.
You can help pay for my flights to Utah that are for fun.
Oh, just for God's sakes.
Four flights. Oh, I had to connect too, by the way. Did I tell you that? Yeah. Connect because it was last minute? Yeah.
Okay. We have to cut that story now because no one's going to donate because they're like, these idiots.
I'm mostly the idiot.
I'm not paying for their day vacations to Utah.
Oh, it's brutal. My knee swole up too. Guys, we love you. You can do it. Have a great week.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.